Blog Talk Radio.
How you guys doing? Another episode of Gregory Parchman and Friends. Yeah, it's been a little while. I know I haven't talked to you guys since the divisional round of the playoffs. Didn't get a chance to talk to you during the games where they were fighting for the Super Bowl. So I want to try to get that in. Plus, I haven't really gotten a chance to talk about the NBA and college basketball, so I want to get into that a little bit too. So it's Wednesday. I just want to review a little bit of what happened in the championship games. I'm not going to make it too long because it's like I said, it's Wednesday. You guys kind of know what happened already. So Denver beat the Patriots. Somehow Peyton Manning got it done. With his noodle arm and all, you know. I guess he ate his chunky soup and got his insurance from State Farm or wherever he does his commercials, whatever, I don't know. But somehow he got it done. Or more like the Denver's defense got it done, making Brady look really bad and hitting him so many times. Hit him so many times that Belichick felt like he had to fire his offensive line coach, which I thought was a joke. The Patriots' offensive line was so banged up. They had so many guys coming in and out of the line all the year. And they're going to blame the offensive line coach for why they lost. Okay, Bill. Good job. Good job with that one. I think Denver had a pretty dominant line. Von Miller is one of the best defensive linemen in the game right now. Marcus Ware is probably a top 10 defensive lineman. And then you got Derek Wolfe and all these guys on the line. And, that's what's going to happen. Not to mention that the Patriots historically have a hard time playing at Denver, especially in the playoffs. I thought they were going to win. They had a chance to win at the end. They were able to get a score at the end of the game. Took Gronkowski. They just missed on a two-point conversion. And Denver gets to the Super Bowl. Carolina, that game was very good. It was very competitive. I don't know if the most talented team won. Obviously, the better defense won. Like I said, I was shocked that Denver was able to score as many points as they did. I really thought the Patriots was really going to shut them down, but Denver was able to cause a couple of turnovers to help with that process, so that definitely helps. The Panthers destroyed Arizona. That was just an embarrassment. I can't believe I thought Arizona was going to win that game. Like, basically 5-10 minutes into the game, you were thinking, oh, man, this is going to be a bloodbath, which it was. 49-15, Cam Newton does his thing. They were able to run the ball, long runs to Ted Ginn, long passes to Corey Brown, touchdown pass to Greg Olsen, Luke Kuechly, pick six. They just had everything going that day. I mean, Carson Palmer, man, I tell you, he had a really shaky postseason, man. I really feel like, you know, Arizona, they obviously, that's their guy, and they're going to stick with him, and they're going to do, you know, they're just going to bring him back and just try to start the process over again or anything like that. But he was not that good at Green Bay. They were lucky to win that game. And they were completely outclassed, and he was a big part of the problem. Not that the defense was really that much better. But yeah, they have some issues there, too, obviously with the Tyrann Mathieu injury. And they just flat out need another pass rusher. Like, they're trying to rely on Dwight Freeney, who's way past his prime for sacks. And, you know, he's just not that dude no more. I mean, he had a couple big sacks in the postseason. But, I mean, he didn't have the large amount of total sacks that he did when he was in his prime. So they're going to have to find another pass rusher at free agency or in the draft or something. But all around, they have a really good team. They just need their quarterback to play better. I mean, Carson Palmer did a terrible job. Like I said, in Green Bay, he was shaky. He was lucky. Sam Shields dropped two picks in that Green Bay game. And Carolina defensive players have better hands than Sam Shields. So, they made him pay for it. And they're going to have to watch him next year, man, because, I mean, obviously they have success in the regular season. They know how to play, but he was like a completely different person in the postseason. It's like he has that Andy Dalton syndrome. Must be something with them Cincinnati quarterbacks, man. You drink the water in Cincinnati and something about the postseason kind of shakes you up a little bit. I don't know how Boomer Esiason was able to overcome it, but it's just like with Dalton and now with Carson Palmer, something's going on over there. But they had a good season. Nothing to really complain about. They really did their thing. So Panthers was just better. So which brings us to the Carolina versus Denver matchup. A couple injuries. Thomas Davis broke his hand, his arm, in the NFC Championship game, outside linebacker for Carolina. I mean, this dude has already been through so many injuries, like torn ACL 3 times in 1 knee. He says he's going to play, but a broken arm in the Super Bowl, it's going to be kind of interesting to see if he can go. Personally, I don't see how he's going to go because Denver is obviously going to try and run the ball. I mean, if Thomas Davis comes up the middle, tries to tackle Denver's running backs, and he misses a tackle, they're gonna be wondering if he should be out there. So we'll have to see about that one. Jared Allen obviously has that fractured foot. For Carolina defensive end, he didn't play in the NFC Championship game. I doubt he's gonna play in the Super Bowl. But hey, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You know, sometimes he does shoot up something in their bodies and they're able to play. Darian Stewart for the Broncos safety. We'll see if he plays. It looks like, but he was banged up too. Ultimately, I think though, you know, you got two good defenses. Denver's defense is maybe statistically a little bit better. But Carolina forces a lot more turnovers, which is a problem for Peyton Manning, who obviously threw a lot of picks in the regular season. He's been actually pretty good at keeping turnovers down in the postseason. But you're going against Carolina, who has a really good pass rush. They have two good defensive tackles. They have, you know, like I said, a good pass rush. They have probably the best combo of linebackers right now with Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, and a dude from Washington. I can't remember his name. But, and obviously they have the best corner in Josh Norman. Well, at least one of the best corners anyway. That's up for debate, you know. But obviously he's very good. So, you know, it's going to be a good game. Well, we hope it's going to be a good game because the separation of the teams is obviously the offense. Carolina has it rolling right now on the offense. Cam Newton's playing well. Running backs are doing their thing. Their receivers are doing their thing. Ted Ginn, everybody's saying he can't catch, and he has had historically bad hands, but his hands have obviously gotten better, and he's running like 4-2, 4-3 with like crazy cuts. So we'll see if the corners are going to be able to, you know, stay with this guy because he's getting open quite easily. So when he actually does have a chance to catch the ball, he's so open, it's like he can't help but catch the ball. Greg Olsen has been killing it. So, I mean, I really don't see this game really being that close. I really don't. I think Carolina's probably going to win. I don't like Carolina. I think they're a bit of a chatty team. But, you know, they had that obviously horrible game with the Giants where Josh Norman was going at it with Odell Beckham. That did not make me a fan of the Carolina Panthers. But, hey, they're playing well. You give them credit. And I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. So I just don't see – like, they don't have home field to protect them this time and make them feel comfortable. I don't see how they're not going to move the ball on this defense with how limited Peyton Manning's arm is. And Carolina has a better rush than New England does. They probably have – they definitely have better linebackers. And Norman is a shutdown corner, so we'll see how it goes. I want to talk about a little bit of the NBA today, some basketball topics. We're midway through the NBA season now, and it's been a pretty good season. I'm a big NBA fan. So, you know, I'm always going to enjoy NBA regardless of what's going on. This year has been a kind of a different year because the Golden State Warriors have been obviously a very dominant team. They have a 42-4 record at this point right now, and they are definitely threatening the Chicago Bulls' all-time record of 72 wins and 10 losses. Chicago Bulls fan, this makes me very concerned, and it's basically to the point where I am tracking the Warriors, and I'm unabashedly rooting against them every night now. But they are, the last week or so, they've been very impressive. Like, they lost Detroit at Detroit, and like ever since then, they've blown out Cleveland. They've blown out Chicago. They've blown out San Antonio. I was trying to watch they beat the Pacers. I was trying to watch the Mavericks game today. The Mavericks didn't even try to win this game. They rested Dirk, which annoys me to no end. I'll get into that a little bit later. But they rested Dirk. It was a pretty decent game for the first half, but ultimately, the Mavs just didn't have the guns with Dirk sitting on the bench to beat the Warriors. But the Warriors won easily. And they've now won 5 in a row. And, you know, are looking pretty unstoppable right now. I personally don't believe the Warriors are going to win the championship. I am one of those people that think the Warriors had a very easy road to the championship. If there's such a thing as an easy road to a championship, they definitely took it. Every single team that they played in the playoffs last year was hurt. They did not. The opponent's starting point guard was either injured or very much hurt. Like Mike Conley with his eye or his. His head or something was wrong with his head. He was definitely not playing at 100%. Patrick Beverley was out for the Rockets. Dwight Howard was playing with a torn MCL or something like that in the Western Conference Finals. The Cavaliers did not have Kevin Love or Kyrie Irving, and the Cavaliers still took them 6 games. So, obviously, the Golden State Warriors have felt very slighted by people like me who think that way. So they have a chip on their shoulder, and they are looking like they are going to, try to win the championship. But I think the Spurs are a better team. When the Warriors beat the Spurs, Tim Duncan did not play. I know people think that Tim Duncan is not at his best right now because he's at an advanced age of 40 years old, which is fair, but when the postseason, they also said the same thing about him last year, and he played against the Clippers and was the Spurs' best player. I think the Spurs are going to play a lot better when they play at San Antonio later in the year. Both San Antonio and Golden State are both undefeated at home, so it may just come down to who gets home court. But San Antonio has also proven that they can beat teams on the road. As an experienced championship-winning team. So
I think those two are obviously the best two teams in basketball. I did think that Cleveland was a contender, but I don't know about this firing that they have done with David Blatt. I don't really understand why they fired David Blatt. He was obviously had success with Cleveland. Won 83 games, lost 40, took him to the finals last year with a depleted roster, as I said earlier. So I really don't understand why he was fired. I'm not going to get into the whole, did LeBron want him fired or not. You know, I think he did want him fired, but I'm not going to get too much into that. It's just the fact, I'm just bringing that up just because to say, okay, now you have Tyronn Lue, who I don't know nothing about. I'm listening to this guy talk about basketball, and he doesn't sound like some innovative, great X's and O's coach. He sounds like a guy, like your average run-of-the-mill NBA coach who wants to just play fast and, you know, have a high volume of shots. You know, like, I don't understand why that's so important to these NBA teams. To, you know, ever since Mike D'Antoni and Don Nelson brought that stuff into bat. But more Mike D'Antoni, these teams are like, oh, we want to play really fast and get up and down the floor. Like, that means something. Like, pace of play, like, you should always play to your personnel. You know, like, if you have a fast pace, if you have good guards and they can get up and down the floor, you know, you should play fast. If you have a smarter team with a smart point guard and a good half-court offense, why would you not slow the pace down? Why would you try and force up and down basketball when most teams want to play that way? So I just don't really understand why every coach is pretty much talking like that. And Tyronn Lue is the same type of way. He wants Cleveland to play up and down. He's not talking about, oh, how can we make the Cavs better as far as how we're going to get Kevin Love involved more, how we're going to get him more post touches or whatever, or how we're going to get Kyrie to play better defense or just in general keep him on the floor. So we'll see. I mean, so basically, I guess my point is that he's not really wowing me as like his as some like – coach as a coaching guru. You hear certain coaches talk and you're like, okay, I see this guy knows what he's talking about. So we'll see about them. And there's other teams in the East like Toronto Raptors. They're 1-9 in a row. They're the hottest team in the NBA. Nobody's talking about them, and they're doing their thing. The Bulls have some injuries with Dunleavy and Marocic just got his appendix taken out. I think they're still contenders if they can get healthy. They lost Noah, but I don't think he's playing that well this year. So I think they still can challenge for the East. But ultimately, I think it's probably between like those four teams. I don't think OKC can beat San Antonio or Golden State. I don't think the Clippers can beat San Antonio or Golden State. So I don't think they're going to go too far. So as of now, that's pretty much where I'm at with the NBA. I want to talk a little bit about draft prospects now. I love college basketball. I love trying to watch the games, not just to watch my teams win. I'm a Seton Hall fan, and I have hopes of them winning the Big East one day before I die. But to ease the pain of them not living up to my expectations, I watch other teams and I watch prospects to try and project to see who's going to be the best player. So far, everybody pretty much has Ben Simmons, kid from Australia, playing for LSU as like the number one pick. He's averaging 20 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, but a really good field goal percentage. And he's looking good. I mean, he's a beast. So I guess a knock on him could be his team hasn't played that well. He's not a great individual defender. He's a front court player that can't really rim protect. Those are issues for me when I watch him play. But, you know, people are going to ignore that type of stuff. But offensively, yeah, I mean, he's got it, man. He's got great athleticism. He's got great vision. When he goes to the basket, he can finish with either hand. You challenge his left hand, he moves it to his right hand, which is, like, pretty crazy. His jumper is not that great, but like I said, the way he gets to the basket and he passes kind of makes up for that. And I think when you're evaluating prospects, I know that the new cool thing to do is like get shooters and everything like that, but you can't teach his ability to pass and you can't teach his ability to jump and run and be that athletic. So your jumper can get better. I've seen countless players' jumpers get better when they couldn't really shoot that well. So if they have all the tools that you can't teach, do they have the tools that you can't teach? I'll build the tools that you can teach, which brings me to my next point of most people have Brandon Ingram from Duke as the second pick of the draft behind Ben Simmons. And some people are actually starting to think that he might be the number one pick of the draft, which is interesting because he plays no defense from what I can tell. Like, his defense is pretty poor. And that's kind of crazy because he has a very long wingspan. He's a 7'3" wingspan. So people with wingspans like that are usually pretty good defenders. But he looks very lackadaisical at times. I watched that game against Miami. He did nothing to impress me on the defensive end. He obviously is a good shooter. He can get to the rim. He's very long, as I said. But I am not impressed with his defense. And I think he can play a little bit more physical. The prospect behind him is Jaylen Brown for Cal. And I actually think that Jaylen Brown has more upside than Brandon Ingram. I mean, he's not a great shooter right now. But, man, this dude is physical. He has a nice body. He's got way better handle than Brandon Ingram. He's not just basically just trying to outstride his defender, which I guess works sometimes. But, I mean, I think it's a lot more effective to have handle and be able to move quickly sideways and not just try to run by your defender. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Like I was saying, Jaylen Brown, he is way better than I think he's a better prospect than Brandon Ingram. Like I said, he doesn't have the shot right now, but he looks like a lot more physical defender. Not a great defender, but he looks like he's willing to mix it up a lot more. And but like I said, I'm impressed with his handle, his ability to move, how he gets to the rim. He's an over-the-rim player. I don't really see that with Brandon Ingram as long as he is. I would take Jaylen Brown over Brandon Ingram right now. I wanted to also talk about the two best teams in college basketball. And I guess I got to be short since I'm running out of time. Oklahoma Sooners, man, other than a couple losses to Iowa State and a triple overtime loss to Kansas, both on the road, they've been pretty much lights out. They've had a couple close wins, but for the most part, they've just been killing teams. They have Buddy Hield, who's just a lights out shooter, and him and his ragtag bunch of guys are just like running through the teams right now. I fully expect them to get to the national championship. It's hard to outscore that team. They just got a bunch of nice three-point shooters. And my sleeper, who's not really a sleeper, is Kentucky.
But people are sleeping on them a little bit because, you know, they kind of got off to a slow start. They've been struggling with their identity a little bit. But I think now they have things going. They put Derrick Wilson in the starting lineup. They have their bigs in Scal and Marcus Lee coming off the bench. And really nobody can really bring that type of length and size off the bench like they can. And their guards are dynamic with Isaiah Briscoe and Jamal Murray and Tyler Ulis. So, I mean, I think they are really finding their stride. They play Kansas on Saturday. I expect them to win in Allen Fieldhouse. That's how high on them I am. I think people after that game will start giving them a little bit more respect since they had some bad losses early in the year. If I had to pick right now, those would be my two national championship final teams. It was probably Oklahoma winning it. But if Kentucky keeps playing the way they are, I might. So thank you for listening to this podcast again. I'm going to try and do a better job of updating this thing. I know it's been pretty bad. And I'm sorry I got cut off there for a second. Don't know what happened there. But I want to thank you guys again for listening. You guys have been great. And I'm going to post this on my social media. I hope you guys take a listen. We're going to make it happen this year. We're going to talk a whole lot of sports, and we're going to get into all this. I think I'm going to try to do a podcast tomorrow if I can. I want to get into a couple of topics again about basketball, maybe get into, like, Blake Griffin issue, maybe more about the coaching, just the NBA in general, talk about maybe the popularity of the Warriors and see if people even find that stuff super exciting, the way they play compared to, like, you know, your traditional NBA power team. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Thank you, and God bless. See you later.